Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm actually extending the sermon text to begin at verse 29, so that is John chapter 1, verse 29 through 51. So again, our sermon text comes from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verse 29 through the end of the chapter. And we read in the name of our Lord. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and bear record, that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God! And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him. Of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there be any good thing to come out of Nazareth? Philip said, saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you've given to us your word. We ask that our ears would be open, and that, Father, we would hear the truth. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. I extended this reading to go to verse 29 because, well, the Bible wasn't broken up into chapters. It wasn't broken up into verses. The Bible was sent out and it was read in separate books that John was read in whole. This was the letter of John describing what would happen. And here we break it up, and we had originally broken it up to start with Philip. But it all plays on Jesus being baptized. It all is playing on the Spirit of God descending on Jesus. That this has great importance. Because we notice even the very last verse, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God descending, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And John the Baptizer saw the heavens open, and he saw the Holy Spirit resting upon Jesus Christ. And we quite often don't realize the very importance of that. That Jesus Christ joined himself to regular humanity, regular human beings. He made himself completely human in every way. He was baptized into the likeness of sinful humanity. Because what need would Jesus have of being baptized? He would have none. Why would the only one without sin have need to be baptized? And he would never have that need. But we were the ones that had the need to be baptized. So he baptized himself into us. And that declaration went out. "Behold, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And we again, quite often, don't recognize the significance of that. That Jesus Christ, when joining himself to us, joined us to him. And God still declares of Jesus, "Behold, my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. That after John the Baptizer declares, "Behold, the Lamb of God," two disciples hear it, one of them being Andrew. And he goes and he gets his brother Peter. And when they're following, Jesus asked them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." Now Andrew and Peter, they were nothing special. They were just regular people. Or they were just guys. We know that Simon Peter was a fisherman. He was just a regular guy. But because Jesus Christ had joined himself into human flesh, regular guys could now approach God. Regular guys could be in the service to the Lord. That it was no longer those who worked in the temple who would be the ones making contact with the Lord, but it would be Simon, who would even deny the Lord three times. There was nothing special about Simon Peter. There was nothing special about Andrew. They were just regular guys, but the Lord called them and said, "Come and see." The Lord called them. And we need to hear that message, that the Lord called us, that there's nothing that we did that was special. There was nothing that we ever could do for our salvation. There was no way that we could ever earn what was needed. We needed the Lamb of God. We needed the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. Because there was nothing in us, there was nothing special in us that could remove that body of sin from us. That's why John had to baptize for the repentance of the forgiveness of sins. Because we needed something outside of ourselves. But he was only leading the way. He was only declaring the one that would come after him. The one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now that was done, again, in part, at Jesus' baptism. The heavens opened. But it was finalized with the cross. And that's why we never forget the cross. That Christmas is wonderful, yes. Jesus is born, unto us a Savior is born. But he would never be that Savior if it were not for the cross. The baptism is wonderful, but it would never mean anything if he were not to die on the cross. His disciples, his teachings, all of those things, they'd be wonderful teachings. But as Paul writes, and I'm paraphrasing, but if we have hope for this life only, then we of all people are to be most pitied. And that's why it all leads to the cross. And that's why Paul could even declare that I preach the cross, which is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who have everlasting life, it is the power of God. And because of that cross, we have new lives. We have the ability to be ministers, to even be called as Nathaniel, as Philip, as Andrew, as Peter. Because there is no longer a struggle between man and God, but man has been brought into perfect unity with God through his own work. That's why even Nathaniel, who would seem so dismissive, because Philip comes to gather him, that's why even Nathaniel can be gathered into the ministry. Because when Philip comes to gather Nathaniel, Nathaniel is not a religious guy. He just says what he thinks. He's not going to mince words. He's just going to go ahead and say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And we don't really understand that Nazareth was a border town. It was the borderlands, that there were the Jews and Gentiles mingling. It was kind of a place where people would go in and out of, and there was not the temple there, that you would think that if the Messiah was going to come, well, he would come from Jerusalem. He would come from Mount Zion. That he would come from that hill, and he would be not son of Joseph, that he'd be son of a priest, that he'd be son of one of the Pharisees or something. So Nathanael basically gives voice to us that wouldn't you expect the Son of God to be much more religious looking? Don't you expect him to be coming in much more grandeur? But God doesn't come that way. So Nathanael says that, and Philip says, "Come and see." Which is very interesting, because that's the exact same thing that Jesus said to Andrew and Peter, "Come and see." And that's not by accident. That's not lucky coincidence. That is because they are now doing the ministry. That the start of Jesus' ministry is the start of their ministry. And there's no separation there. Our ministry, our service, is only the ministry of Christ, because we're joined to him. That the starting of Jesus' joining to the human flesh, well, that's the start of the human being able to actually serve. Because the human being isn't serving selfishly any longer. It's not serving with this self-serving end. It's not serving hoping to make it into heaven on its works. It's now serving free from all of those things. It's now serving in everlasting life. No longer do we have to come to church and hope that we can do enough to make up for our sins. No longer do we try to earn enough grace points so that we can cover our sin. We are already made perfect. We are already his children. So we come to church not hoping to gain something, but we hope to actually be in fellowship, to minister to our fellow human being, to minister to God's children. We come to church not to just hear a sermon. We come to church to hear of who we are. We come to church to be reminded of who we are. We come to church so that we can join together and care for one another. And then we go out from church with all of that still happening for us. That we can go out into the world now, because the regular human being has been brought into the realm of the divine. That our ministry now is no longer in the church. It's no longer in the temple. It's everywhere. Because some regular guys were able, just go do it. Jesus' most known sermon, the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain. These didn't happen in a church. These didn't happen in a temple. They happened out in the world. Because God's ministry isn't for a building. It's not for a house that man builds. God's service is to the entire world. That's why we know Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. Because he was slain for the world. So Nathanael goes and sees Jesus. Well, he goes to approach Jesus. But Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. And it's just wonderful. That seems so small, but that is just wonderful. Jesus sees Nathanael coming to him. So Nathanael can't even get to him. And Jesus saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Now Jesus is already calling Nathanael. And Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Now all kinds of people try to make this into, well, he was sinning under the tree, so he needed repentance, or he was doing something under the tree, and it doesn't say that in the text. But Nathanael knew, this one who saw me, he saw me. He knows me. And from that, he was able to declare, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." That it was because God knew him that he was able to declare this. And that it was Jesus Christ who started this with Nathanael. Nathanael was coming to see, but before he could even get there, Jesus Christ had already called him. And Jesus answered, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." Again, the birth is wonderful. The baptism is wonderful. The sermons, they're great. But they're nothing if that is it. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And that happened. Jesus Christ came back. In John's Gospel, we have the record of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of him being taken up into heaven. We have that. The heavens are opened. It's not saying that in some strange way we can look up there and see God, but that heaven is open to us now. There's no longer this fight for us to get to heaven. Heaven has actually come to us. And that's why even at the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry, he says, "Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand." That the kingdom of God, the heavens, are at hand. Now they don't dwell in a far off place, but they dwell within us. Because to be in us, we have Jesus Christ in us. We have everlasting life in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And I heard a very interesting thing. Pastor Jesse was sharing a story about Pastor Jay. And he said he was frustrated with Pastor Jay. And he said to Pastor Jay, "You act like you're already in heaven." And Jay said, "Yeah." And it seems like such a small thing. Yeah. But isn't that where we are? The heavens are already open to us. Paul tells us we are already seated in the heavenly places. So we can actually serve. Because we're not worried about our salvation. We're not concerned what it will be to get into heaven. We're already there. We're already living in the fulfillment of promise. And the worst thing that happens to us is that we start thinking that something's changed, that no longer does the ministry belong to us. So we think that something's changed, that we're not religious enough, that we need to do more. We think that God has went back, or that we've done something wrong that can take that away. Nothing's changed. God has not reneged on his promise. The ministry is still ours. The Lamb of God has already come and was slain. A sacrifice to end all sacrifices, so that the heavens would never be closed to us. Nothing in this world can remove that from us, because we have the one who predated Moses. We have the one that Moses spoke of. We have the one who was before Abraham. The one who always was. The one who saw Nathanael under the tree. The one who is. The I am. And that's why Jesus can declare, before Abraham was, I am. Elohim. The name of God. We have the one who has always been there, who has always known us, and who has called us. And we can never forget that we are called. We are called. And we can never forget that all things work to the good for those who love God, for those called according to purpose. And we need to stop running around trying to figure out what our purpose is. We need to stop trying to figure out what it is that we're supposed to be doing, because we're it. If you love God, you are called according to purpose. You already have it. So now, just do your ministry. Just live. Just live. Because you have been called. You have been made perfect. You're already in heaven. So you're free to live. You're free to serve. You're free to care for God's people. You are called according to purpose, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on that cross, and through his resurrection, which justifies you. So we give praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are indeed called. Father, we ask that we would not make this call empty, but that we would recognize that, Father, we have been given the entirety of your promise, the entirety of your Son, and your Holy Spirit dwells within us. So, Father, we do ask that we would act as such, and that, Father, we would even bring this message to your people who do not believe yet. We ask that you would care for those who are serving as missionaries, that you would give to them all that is necessary, that they may show your Son. And, Father, even give the peace that they are already seated in the heavenly places. So all that is left now is the joy of being able to care for your own. Father, we do ask that we would not be distracted by this world, that we would recognize that Jesus came into a world of suffering, of pain, of persecution. He came into a world in which the one who preceded him even was beheaded. But Father, his ministry still continued, and everlasting life was still extended. Father, we ask that all would be done in his namesake, in the truest sense of that. That, Father, all that we would do would be in unity with our risen Lord. Father, we ask this in his name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you of his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.